I greet each of you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and I ask that you would turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to read three verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Good to see each one here. Good to have those who are online and on the phone. May we honor the Lord Jesus Christ today. May we lift him up. May we rejoice in him. May we be strengthened in our faith as we live our lives here on this earth. I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16, 17, and 18. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Are you able to rejoice evermore? Am I? Am I in an attitude and situation where I'm ready to pray? I'm willing to pray. I'm praying all the time. And are you and I this morning giving thanks in everything? When I was a boy, it seemed like quite often when we went to a funeral, we sang, "We are going down the valley, one by one, with our faces toward the setting of the sun." We don't seem to like that one anymore. We'd much rather sing today, safe in the arms of Jesus. But that's a childhood memory. We are going down the valley one by one. We sure are. Maybe God's teaching us to pray without ceasing because we're all the time praying for those in grief. But can we give thanks? As we've been studying Galatians, and I know I don't understand the depths of that book, but I do believe we are able to read God's word and be blessed by it. It just struck me this morning as we were studying Galatians, I think the big thing there is death hath lost its sting. O death, where is thy sting? And the next verse says what that is. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. That's Galatians. The law could not take care of our sin problem. But Jesus Christ did. And so Jesus Christ hath removed the sting of death. He has jumped up and down on the grave and challenged the grave with where its victory is. Jesus Christ hath triumphed over the devil. He hath taken the sting of sin away. And so there are aspects of the Word of God, and there are aspects of our faith and our hope beyond this life and beyond the grave that we can, in everything, give thanks. Let's kneel for prayer.
Thank Brother Glenn for his sincere prayer, and each of you who prayed for the speaker this morning. Does God really care about you or about me? You know, there are many scriptures that would support that thought and that truth. Yes, he does care about you, and he cares about me and as individuals. For instance, 1 John 3, verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." He considers you and I, if we've accepted Christ as our Savior and Lord, a precious child of his. And then, perhaps my favorite verse in Scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." He thinks wonderful things about us and has wonderful plans for our lives because he values us. In Matthew 10, verses 29 to 31, there it talks about the sparrow, or the sparrows. It says this, I'm going to read those verses. "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." He knows if one sparrow falls to the ground, and yet we are of more value than many sparrows. In Luke's parallel account of that, those verses in Matthew 10 and in Luke 12, it says, "Not one of these sparrows is forgotten by God." And again, we are more value than many sparrows, so we are not forgotten by the Heavenly Father. You know, sometimes we cry tears. Sometimes our hearts break. And we may be tested and tried, and our faith may even be shaken. But he won't forget his children. And if you're a child of God this morning, I pray through this message, and I hope you'll be reminded how God values you as one of his. And if you're not one of God's children, a born-again believer, I pray that it will cause you to want to be a child of a kind, caring, and loving, and yet just and holy Heavenly Father. If he knows when a sparrow falls, surely he knows all that is happening in our lives. Nothing gets past him. Nothing catches him off guard. Nothing is too insignificant. Rather, he orchestrates the events and circumstances of our lives out of great love for us and great care. And he does it for our good and, most importantly, for his glory. Romans 8:28, we know that verse well, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to my purposes. Is that what it says? To his purposes. He has a purpose. He has a plan. Proverbs 19:21 says, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand," meaning I may have a lot of plans, or I may think I'm going to do this or have this is going to happen, but God has the plan that will happen, that will overrule mine and overrule others. This morning, the message may be or probably a little different than normal, but the title of it is Reasons Behind Our Praise. And with taking in everything that we've said so far, I believe that everything that has happened to me, everything that is happening to me, and everything that will happen are all under the Lord's sovereign control. He has an overall purpose for my life and for yours. And within that purpose, the Lord is also involved in our everyday events, our everyday lives, orchestrating God moments and letting us know that he's there. Through those God moments, he shows us he's working, he's faithful, he's there. In this message, I'd like to share some of our experiences from my second kidney transplant this past July. And I'd like to share with you some of the God moments that God brought into our lives. And yet when you think of it, our whole life is really a God moment, because He's an ever-present Heavenly Father and in charge, and nothing happens by chance. These verses that Brother Glenn read are very relevant to our experiences. Verse 16 says, "Rejoice evermore," or always. And our purpose this morning is to rejoice, and Brother Glenn referenced this, is to rejoice in the faithfulness and the goodness of our God. Verse 17 says, "Pray without ceasing. You have done this for us. Thank you for praying so much, so often, and so long of a time, and continuing to do so, and we certainly appreciate it. Not only thank you for praying, but you've touched our lives in so many ways, and we are undeserving. We were so blessed by the cards. We took a stack of cards along to Minnesota for the transplant. We were so blessed by them, and I especially want to note the children. Children who did cards for us, thank you. They touched our lives. We thank you for all the love gifts, the financial help, the expressions of love, the text messages, the phone calls. I'll probably miss something. But thank you for all your support. It's been appreciated more than we can say. And then verse 18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, give thanks." We want to praise and thank the Lord for His works, His blessings, His healing, and all He does, no matter what our circumstances may be. That's what this sermon is about this morning. To praise Him for His goodness, His involvement, His God moments. It's to recognize how He's at work in our lives and acknowledge that all passes through Him. Anything that gets to me passes through Him first, and the same with you. He is not caught by surprise. He is never overwhelmed. He's always in control, even when it seems our circumstances may be out of control. You know, oftentimes there's a story behind our thanks and our praise to our God. And the songwriter says it this way: "Behind my praise, there's a valley. God has brought me through. Behind my praise, there's a mountain I never thought would move. Behind my praise is a wilderness in bloom. I can't hold back, because I've seen what God can do. Behind my praise are the tears He's wiped from my eyes. Behind my praise are the answers to my desperate cries. Behind my praise is the dawn that broke the night. I can't hold back the joy I have inside. I've seen oceans roll back at my feet. I've watched giants cower in defeat. Because of God and His amazing grace, I live to tell a story. Behind my praise." This message is about sharing some of that story behind our thanks and praise to the Lord. You know, I've been blessed and I am blessed with some incredible doctors, and I know it was mentioned Wednesday evening by a brother here with his wife. But we've had, and I do have, some incredible doctors, some incredible technicians, incredible nurses, hospitals, to care for my physical needs. You know, I have three daughters, and all three of them are either presently working as a nurse or did at one time. There are nurses throughout this congregation. You have or you are doing an extraordinary work. I continue to just be amazed by nurses. They have touched my life in a great way. Carol and I and our family, we realize that we have been blessed to be able to go to Mayo Clinic and receive expert, elite care. Some of the very best in all the world. Still with all of this, we realize and we acknowledge that God deserves all the praise, all the glory, because only He is the ultimate healer. He's the one behind the technology, behind the medicines, behind the doctors. You know, even my doctor out at Mayo, my main nephrologist who I've been contacting, meeting with, video meeting, and so on in person with for years now. She's been such a great blessing. We so much appreciate her. Down to earth and just tremendous nephrologist. When we were meeting with her, wrapping up our time at Mayo after the transplant, it was my last office visit with the transplant team. And in this case, she was there. She was the doctor there. Sometimes you get another one. But it was this doctor who we've been seeing was there. And I referred to the Lord because they were pleased with where we were at and how well I was doing. And I referred to the Lord working and blessing me. And you know what she said? She said in agreement, she was in agreement that they are like instruments through which the Lord works. That's what you want to see and hear. When doctors acknowledge that, God uses all of these things and works through these people to work in our lives. He deserves all the praise and the glory. That's my purpose in sharing this morning, to give the Lord all the praise. Someone wrote, only one spoke countless stars ablaze. Only one could breathe life into clay. Only one can quiet raging seas. Only one has the power to redeem. All the praise goes to Jesus. All the praise to Him alone. All the glory and honor forevermore. All the praise to Him alone. Well, Carol and I and Jerusha and Luke and Haven left early Sunday morning, July the 6th, to fly to Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota for a kidney transplant. And Ken and Jane aren't here this morning, but I wanted to publicly thank them as well because they kept Luke's two older children, Luke and Jerusha's. And it enabled or made it a lot easier to make the trip or possible for Luke and Jerusha and for us to help us. And you may wonder this morning, maybe if you've wondered over time, why Mayo Clinic? Back in 2017, when the doctors here were trying to determine what was wrong with me, probably some people still wonder today what's wrong with me, but they were trying to determine what's wrong with me, and so I was referred to Mayo Clinic for their opinion, and they diagnosed me, and I kept them involved throughout the first transplant and so on, and I reached a place after the first transplant when we knew that something was wrong, and I knew something was wrong with me. And I was doing a video visit with the kidney specialist that I referred to a little bit ago from Mayo. And at that time, I was looking for a new center to take over my care. And I was explaining to her what I needed. And she asked, she said, would you want us to provide you with your main care? And I said, well, yeah, but how's that work? And so she explained how we could do it and so on. And due to the rarity of the disease that I have and the complexity of it, the doctor here, my nephrologist here, thought I should make Mayo Clinic our primary kidney center and their doctors. We discussed it, Carol and I, obviously amongst ourselves and with our family. Knowing it would be an inconvenience and would be, there are some issues that aren't as ideal as being in a local hospital. But our family thought we should go there and allow them to do the transplant. We believe it's where God wanted us to be as well. So we arrived around noon on Sunday, July the 6th in Rochester. It's the place of Mayo Clinic's main campus where it originally started. There are two other Mayo Clinics in the United States. One's in Jacksonville, Florida. One in Phoenix, Arizona. We arrived in Rochester. And during this time, our desire and our prayer was to represent Christ well. And I hope that we did, but I know that I didn't do, I could have done better. And so this morning, with all that I share, know that it's not to exalt us in any way. We don't want to come across in any way of pride, knowing we aren't worthy. But God is. He is. Well, Monday, July 7th, was to be a day of tests and meetings for both Luke and myself. In the morning at the lab, usually you go to the lab, first thing you do, and get blood work and all that stuff. I remember one of the times we were out there, I think it was the first time back in 17. I don't know, they took about 18 tubes of blood. And you just hope they leave some in there, you know. But at any rate, so we were at the lab and we saw a young couple there. And she wore a veil. And then later we saw them. Of course, when you see that, that always jumps out at you, obviously. And you wonder, you know, where are they from or whatever and so on. Well, we saw them at the lab. And then later we saw them sitting in one of the waiting areas. And we sat down next to them because there were some open chairs. And I asked if they're from around here. And he said, no, Pennsylvania. They were from Berks County, not too far east of here. We talked and I asked what brought them here. And get this, he said that he was there for a kidney transplant evaluation. Brothers and sisters, these things don't just happen by accident. I said, I'm having a kidney transplant tomorrow. We talked and tried to encourage them. We exchanged phone numbers and said we'd pray for each other. He was only 30, but he had a genetic disease. That was a God moment. When I got my blood work that morning at the lab, the man who was my technician said, a lot of times they ask you where you're from. They realize a lot of people come there from different places. And I told him Pennsylvania, and he said, I've never been to Pennsylvania, but plan to come in 2026. And as it turned out, they're planning on stopping at Gettysburg. So I told him, well, I only live about 15 miles from Gettysburg. And you know what he said to me? He said, you don't look like you need a kidney transplant. I'm not sure how you're supposed to look, but I guess he didn't think I looked that way. I know it can be hard on you. Dialysis can be very hard, and you can look pretty sickly. But so I responded to that, and I said, the Lord's been better to me than I deserve. And he replied, the technician said, he does that for people. I said to him, then in return, I said, do you know him? He said that he did. I hope he does in the right way. And then later on Monday, we met with the main surgeon who would be doing the transplant. And I was able to tell her or had the opportunity as she was explaining what was going to happen and so on. And as she was the main surgeon, I said, I recognize your expertise or something along this line. But I wanted her to know, and I said, I'll be praying that God will guide your hands. Then the last thing that I needed to do on that Monday before the transplant, before we left the clinic, was to get dialysis one last time. And so I went to the area where we get dialysis there, and I've been there several times in the past. And if you remember, maybe you don't, but you heard a message I preached sometime back in the summer. I previously told you about I previously told you about a sweet black Christian woman that I'd met there before in a previous trip, and she had been my dialysis technician. Her name was Amaya, and she just went by Maya. She encouraged me so much previous time and had been such a blessing. And as I was waiting to get called back for dialysis, a woman came out and called my name, and guess who it was? It was Maya. She saw me and I saw her. I said, God did it again. He orchestrated that. Didn't have to be her. There was many other technicians. She didn't even have to be working that day. God moments. Tuesday, July the 8th was the day of the transplant. We had to be at Mayo Clinic by 5:30 a.m. and it was too early for the hotel shuttle. The hotel where we stay has a shuttle that'll run you back and forth to the clinic. It was too early for them to run. They didn't run that early, so we scheduled a Lyft driver, which Lyft, if you're familiar, is similar to Uber, to take us to the clinic. Luke and Jerusha and Haven were taken to a prep room. Carol and I were taken to another room. And at one point, Luke came to our room so we could share a quick last visit before the surgery. There's something about those moments when a father is going to soon receive a kidney from one of his children that you can't put into words. And let me say this here, because this is very, very important to Carol and me. Kirk and Luke, two of our sons, each gave me a kidney. Different times, obviously. It was no fault of Kirk's that his kidney went bad. It was a great kidney. But the disease inside of me damaged that kidney that he gave. And so I needed another one. Some of our children cannot give a kidney directly to me. They don't match and so on. But they all would if they could. And there's no doubt in my mind about that. I know that. So in our minds, the kidneys that have been donated to me by Kirk and Luke are from all of our children and our family. I may actually be running out of children that can give me directly. But though the kidneys donated were from Kirk and Luke, I also want to say this and make this clear. In reality, they were from Kirk and Martha and Luke and Jerusha. Because it's not just a sacrifice for the one donating, but it's a great sacrifice for the spouse as well. Luke mentioned Wednesday night in his testimony of how Jerusha had to do a lot. Well, that's the way it is. He couldn't lift. She had to do a lot. She'd take care of Haven. Carol helped some too with that. But same with me. Carol had to do everything, basically. Isaiah 41:13 says, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." Psalm 73:23, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast hold me by my right hand." The Lord was holding our hands. The surgery lasted 3 to 4 hours. Coming out of anesthesia, my first question was, "How's my son?" I was assured he was doing good. There was time in recovery, and then we were taken to our rooms. Luke's was right next to mine, which was an extra special blessing. But there was something even more special about my room. And I assume Luke's had this too. I'm not sure, I wasn't in to see it, but in my room, or in our room, on the wall right in front of my bed, all I had to do was look. You know what was there? It's a picture of Jesus. I tell you, that meant a lot when I got up to that room and I saw that. The recovery this time was quite different than my first transplant. The first time, Carol said, I was moaning from pain when they brought me out. I barely remember that first day of the first transplant. I had a little button I could push for pain, and I pushed that button every chance they left me. I was in ICU before moving to another room for at least a day or so, I think, the first transplant. I was in the hospital 6 days. This time I took nothing stronger than Tylenol. And can honestly say that I had no pain other than obviously around my incision when I'd move and so on. The same day of the transplant, they had me out walking the hall. I was doing better than Luke. I now had a well-functioning kidney while Luke was less a kidney. I spent no time in ICU, and 2 days later, I was released from the hospital. Now, granted, we returned to the clinic almost daily for blood work or appointments until the doctors were satisfied to send us home to Pennsylvania nearly 3 weeks later. But the first time we returned from the hospital, or returned to the hospital weekly, for six weeks as well. So we attribute this first and foremost to the Lord. He was at work, and I believe it was part of his response to the anointing. Luke and I both were anointed the Thursday night before we left. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That's what we were looking for, mercy and grace to help in time of need. And God responded with his grace to help us and to bring healing. He worked through your prayers. We attribute this to working through your prayers as well and those of many others. They made a difference. He worked through the elite care at Mayo Clinic. Several days after the transplant, we were at the clinic for appointments, and sometimes there's a lot of time in between appointments, so we just wait, spending much of the time sitting in one of the waiting areas. And the one we like to use often has a piano nearby. And many times someone is playing that piano, and where we're sitting there is a lot of traffic. Walking, people walking from building to building because you're inside, and they have it set up that you don't have to go outside to get from building to building because of how cold it gets in the winter. So there's a lot of traffic, people moving back and forth. But someone will play that piano a lot of times, and they're playing hymns of our faith. And we've been there, and I think the day before the transplant, I heard all of these being played, "Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. What a friend we have in Jesus. I love to tell the story. I'll cherish the old rugged cross. He hideth my soul. And Jesus will take care of you." The last time we were out in here in November, we were sitting there, and a man was playing, and he played, "He Looked Beyond My Fault. Saw my need," and he was singing along. It's in a public area. And there's been a couple times at least that there have been some veiled sisters that have come in there and did some a cappella singing in this public area. And it's just, the whole thing just blesses our hearts when you're sitting there and hearing these hymns and being sung. On this particular day after the transplant, we had about 3 hours to wait. And a woman sat down next to Carol, and I wasn't there at the time. And this woman asked Carol about her veil, her covering. Carol explained. And then when I returned, we got to share more with her. And it sounded like she was a believer. You know, as you start talking, and you can get that feeling or acknowledge that this is possibly another believer that we're talking to here. And based on what she said and so on. But we shared how we credit the Lord first. And all the people praying, and then also the good care of Mayo Clinic, and she agreed. And I shared with her how so many were praying for us, even people we don't know, and from other churches, she seemed impressed with that. You know, I believe that most people have no idea what that's like and never experience it. So many people praying for them. What a blessing. God wanted us to meet this woman. Again, all honor and praise to him. There were others that God had us to meet and brought into our lives. One was a plain couple from Mississippi. They came to Mayo, and the husband could get a liver transplant. He had his liver transplant. I think it was before my kidney transplant, chronologically, but we saw him several times and were able to talk with them and share together and pray for each other. And I would ask you to pray for him. So I just contacted him yesterday, and he's doing good, but he has something that's happened, and they're returning to the clinic for some treatment. So his name is Andy, if you would want to pray for him and his wife, and appreciate that. Sounds like it's treatable, but would be appreciate your prayers for them. Another couple that we met, called Steve and Pat, and Luke, I thought he might want to share this, but he did not share on Wednesday night. But they were an older couple who lived up north along Lake Superior, and they were at the same hotel we were at, and he had come to Mayo for a checkup of a problem that he had years ago. Him and his wife, they were married or are married or 58 years. And Jerusha first met them at the hotel. She was there with Haven by themselves when Luke and I were in the hospital, because Carol stayed with me the whole time, but they recommended that Jerusha, and I guess probably because of Haven, they didn't stay overnight with Luke because of, you know, Luke needing to get his rest and Jerusha as well. So Jerusha went back to the hotel with Haven by herself, and she would leave on the shuttle or in the late afternoon, early evening. Well, this couple, Steve and Pat, saw Jerusha with Haven, and realizing, I think, that she could use some help, they offered assistance to her. They were such a blessing. And we all got to meet them after Luke and I got released, and we ended up getting a picture with them and exchanged contact information. One afternoon, they were sitting there in the hotel lobby, and guess what they were going to do together? They were going to have devotions. It's great. It's encouraging. And the morning that Luke's left to return home, we stood in the hotel breakfast area there, and I think we held hands together in a circle and had prayer. They were such a great encouragement. God moments. God brought them into our lives. Another time, while on the shuttle back to the hotel from the clinic, there was a couple named Mike and Kelly on the shuttle. They were from Minnesota, but several hours away from the clinic. We talked and shared about my transplant and how the Lord's been good to us. Kelly shared about her husband's physical issues. He had several serious issues: diabetes, sclerosis of the liver, heart disease. I think he was younger than me. While finishing out our trip on the shuttle, I felt, you know what it's like. I felt that prompting of the Holy Spirit to ask if I could have prayer with them after we got off the shuttle. So when we got off, and they were at our hotel, so we got off the same spot, I asked them to step aside and ask if we could have prayer with them, and they agreed. We stood there outside the hotel and prayed. It was one of the most special times of the trip. They thanked us and laughed again. These are God moments. Lord be praised. We're not deserving. Another person that we met was the man named Lima. He's one of the shuttle drivers. He is Hawaiian, and had actually moved from Hawaii to Minnesota. He was working as a shuttle driver part-time. And in the van, the shuttle van, he played Christian music. I thought, wow, this is great. This is better than what we hear sometimes. And we talked to him and said that we appreciated the Christian music, and we got to know him some, and he shared his testimony with us. He was a joyful man. You could tell it. You know what his testimony was? He had been on drugs and alcohol, been enslaved, and he said he tried other things, and nothing would work. You know what did? The Lord Jesus. He said Jesus was the only answer. We got to see Lima again when we returned here in November. He's such a blessing. Again, God's work. There were some other... I'm trying to watch that clock. I'm watching it, but I'm trying to do something about it as well. There were some special surprises. And I I think I would fail if I didn't mention these. But the first Saturday after the transplant, I was resting in our room. So this is like 5 days later or so. Resting in our room, and we had a sofa there in that room. It was an extended room-like, and had my legs propped up, and I dozed off, fell asleep, and I was awakened by someone touching the bottom of my foot. It wasn't Carol. I opened my eyes, and there was Brother Tom Walmer Jr. Him and Elaine surprised us by showing up at our hotel door. You know what he did? He put his hand over the peephole so she couldn't tell it was them until she opened the door. And as word would have, and I think the video would show, I think Carol's mouth dropped. You know, we didn't expect anyone to travel 1,000 miles to see us in Minnesota. What an uplifting encouragement that was to us. They stayed till Monday morning, shared time with us, and helped us. They were able to transport Luke and Jerusha and Haven to the hospital Sunday they left to come home. And so that was very helpful instead of getting a Lyft driver or something along that line. And of course, they were able to help them. The first Sunday after the transplant, we were watching your service here. Brother Lynn led my favorite hymn, and he did it again this morning. I got a feeling it's because I was up here. And he had you turn around to face the camera. I don't know if you remember that. It was really encouraging to Carol. Then 1 week after Tommy Lane had left, we got another surprise. It was Monday afternoon. Someone again surprised us by showing up at the hotel door and again didn't let us see out, Carol see out. When she opened the door, I heard familiar voices. It was Eric and Tiff and Easton and Ensley. Again, we didn't expect any family to come that distance. They came and really represented all of our family, all of our family's desire to be there. They stayed till Wednesday afternoon. Again, tremendous encouragement to us. These stays were very encouraging and helped pass time for us, and very so much a blessing. The writer says, I've got so many reasons to praise his name. I'm counting blessing on blessing with every day. And when I walk through the fire, he still makes a way. I've got so many reasons to pray or to praise. I'm thankful for my Lord. I'm so undeserving, and yet he's been so good and faithful. I can't comprehend his love for me. I'm thankful for you. We try to convey our thanks. We feel like it's so inadequate. I'm thankful for our family. Incredible support and love that we feel. I'm thankful for Carol. It's been a lot on her. She's done so much, I've counted on her. Like Luke couldn't lift, I couldn't lift. I think milk jug was my limit for like 6 weeks. And so while we were out in Minnesota, she had to do all that stuff. She made meals, took care of me. She still takes care of me. I have experienced a healing. We realize there could be issues in the future. That's in God's hands. But I have experienced a healing through donated kidneys, medicine that has knocked down the pre-cancer issue, and elite care at Mayo Clinic. Physical healing. And the Lord working through all that to his honor and glory. But most importantly, I want to share something else. There's another healing that I've experienced. It's through the Lord Jesus healing me spiritually. Since my birth, I've received new life 3 times. Once a kidney transplant in 2019, second a kidney transplant in 2025 this year. But most importantly, 1973, new spiritual life that God has refined and worked on with me since. There's been many new beginnings. There continues to be. But like you said, Brother Larry, that third verse is so impressive in that hymn. I can't get over it. Not in part, but the whole. I was nailed to his cross and I bear it no more. So I've received new physical life through two of our sons. But I've received new spiritual life through the Son. Hallelujah. I am so blessed. Can I close with the words of this song? Some days you may lead me through green pastures. Some days are really good. My heart drinks in deep the water sweet. And some days you may lead me through the desert. Even then, you're still the reason I can say I am blessed beyond measure. So far beyond what's gained through earthly treasures, whatever comes my way, still my soul will say, I am blessed. I am blessed. Through the troubled pain and disappointments, when it seems that I have nothing left, you will never leave me or forsake me. This is my desire. I will testify until my dying breath. I am blessed beyond measure. So far beyond what's gained through earthly treasures, whatever comes my way, still my soul will say, thank you, Lord, because I am blessed. I am truly, truly blessed.
We want to thank Brother Duane for sharing that part of his life with us. And we trust it'll be an encouragement in your life. The three verses that were read, I saw, were interwoven in the stories that he was telling. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And as a way of encouragement, you might look at your life and you say, well, I don't have a story to tell like that. I would ask you just to think about all the people that you meet in your regular life. If you feel that your life's routine, who are the people that you meet in your routine? I'm just going to give an example here just from a few months ago. Larry and I were in Montana. Sunday morning, we picked a church to go to. We went to that church, and the time of starting was... what was on Google was not the same as their actual start time. So we decided to go to another church by default. Went in that church, when the service started, sat down. I noticed that a man came in and sat down three different times at three different places till he finally settled for the service. After the service, I stood up. Didn't go anywhere. I just simply stood up and he was immediately there. He wanted to know what my name was, where I'm from, and if he could tell me a little bit about his life, and then if I could pray for him. We meet people every day. That we could pray for. That would be interested in our concern and in our care. Are we looking for those opportunities? Let's stand and pray.